So violence is currently acting as this massive 3.3 trillion rand shadow tax on South Africa's economy. I mean, it costs the country up to 15% of its entire GDP. Today, we're doing a custom-tailored deep dive to unpack the Western Cape's 2025 to 2026 Police Oversight and Community Safety Annual Performance Plan. Welcome, by the way. Our mission for you today is to treat this document as, well, basically a provincial survival guide to a multi-trillion rand crisis.
Yeah, it's really tracking systemic societal failure and the government's response, right, in real time. But to understand the strategy, you first have to look at the actual battlefield. I mean, in the 2023 to 2024 period, the Western Cape saw over 4,500 murders. That's a 9.5% jump.
Right, but the critical data point isn't even just that total volume, is it? It's the concentration.
Exactly. Out of 152 police stations, just 12 of them account for 51% of those deaths. We're talking about places like Delft, Nyanga, and Gulethu.
Okay, let's unpack this concentration. You know, you don't get half the province's murders clustered in a dozen neighborhoods by accident. This is driven by a highly organized shadow economy, specifically gang extortion, right? It's choking everything from local spaza shops to massive construction sites. But wait, how does demanding protection money from a corner store directly inflate that murder rate?
Well, it creates this fatal feedback loop. Extortion generates massive, untraceable cash reserves for these gangs. And then that cash is used to flood those specific districts with illegal firearms, which are now used in over 51% of all murders.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the extortion funds the weapons enforce the extortion, and the resulting turf wars over these cash streams just drive up the body count in those 12 specific areas.
And they have a seemingly endless recruitment pool, too, because of, what, a 33.2% youth unemployment rate? But here's where it gets really interesting. The government isn't just pointing at unemployment or illegal guns as the root causes. They actually cite climate change as a major driver of this local crime.
Right. And what's fascinating here is the physical mechanism behind that. I mean, it sounds entirely disconnected until you follow the human movement. Extreme weather events like prolonged droughts or severe flooding force, environmental migration, people lose their rural livelihoods, and, well, they relocate to urban centers simply to survive.
Oh, I see. So you end up with a rapid influx of people pouring into already strained neighborhoods like Nyanga or Delft.
Exactly, which puts immense pressure on incredibly limited local resources.
Yeah.
You know, housing, jobs, even basic clinic access. That tension inevitably creates friction, which escalates into violence and provides even more vulnerable, economically desperate recruits for those extortion gangs.
Wow. So if climate-driven migration, youth unemployment, and gang extortion are flooding these specific stations, the traditional method of just hiring more cops clearly won't work. The plan's flagship response shifts to a completely different tactic, which is DITA. They're launching a virtual Provincial Safety Coordination Center, or PSCC, to centralize intelligence across different agencies.
Yeah, that's the big pivot.
But I have to challenge this, you know. Can a virtual data center actually stop a gang member's bullet? I mean, it sounds like bureaucratic red tape.
Well, this raises an important question. Because, no, a dashboard alone doesn't save lives. The PSCC is about predictive resource deployment. Right now, government, police, and local agencies are largely siloed.
Right.
But by centralizing the data, authorities can map exactly where extortion rackets are clustering, or predict how illegal firearm shipments are moving through a district before the violence actually peaks.
Okay, so it's less about having a fancy dashboard and more about predicting where the problem is moving next. And once they know that, they send in the physical resources. Because the plan does mention funding over 1,000 Law Enforcement Advancement Plan, or LEP, officers.
Exactly. Data dictates the deployment of those boots on the ground. Instead of officers simply reacting to a shooting after the fact, LEP officers are proactively stationed in the exact corridors where the data shows extortion and illegal gun movement are currently concentrated.
Right, so they're treating intelligence as the primary weapon. And they're pairing this high-level data approach with community-level interventions, like accrediting local neighborhood watches.
Yeah, and they're also funding the Chrysalis Youth Program. That tackles the recruitment loop we talked about earlier by physically removing at-risk youth from these gang-heavy environments to provide intensive paramilitary and life skills training.
So you have to disrupt the cash flow with data-driven policing while cutting off their recruitment pipeline through programs like Chrysalis.
Yeah.
You can't dismantle a highly organized shadow economy with a disorganized government.
Precisely. True community safety requires balancing police oversight with community empowerment and economic opportunity.
So what does this all mean for the future? It really highlights that fighting crime requires massive economic and environmental strategy, not just more squad cars. Which leaves you with a final thought to ponder. If extreme climate shifts and systemic youth unemployment are the true engines of this violence, should our future law enforcement budgets actually be spent entirely on green energy and job creation?